Translation. O greatly fortunate one, you came under the influence of lusty desires, and therefore you could not understand the influence of Mother Sita. Now, because of her curse, you have been reduced to this state, having been killed by Lord Ramachandra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Not only was Mother Sita powerful, but any woman who follows in the footsteps of Mother Sita can also become similarly powerful. There are many instances of this in the history of Vedic literature. Whenever we find a description of ideal chaste women, Mother Sita is among them. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, was also very chaste. Similarly, Draupadi was one of the five exalted chaste women. As a man must follow great personalities like Brahma and Narada, a woman must follow the path of such ideal women as Sita, Mandodari, and Draupadi. By staying chaste and faithful to her husband, a woman enriches herself with supernatural power. It is a moral principle that one should not be influenced by lusty desires for another's wife. Matrivat Paradareshu, an intelligent person must look upon another's wife as being like his mother. This is a moral injunction from Chanika Shloka. 10. Matrivat Paradareshu Paradreveshu Lostravat Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu Yapashyati Sapandita. One who considers another's wife as his mother, another's possessions as a lump of dirt, and treats all other living beings as he would himself, is considered to be learned. Unquote. Thus Ravana was condemned not only by Lord Ramachandra, but even by his own wife, Mandodari. Because she was a chaste woman, she knew the power of another chaste woman, especially such a wife as Mother Sita Devi. Omagyana timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasme shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam didati svapadantika jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasti gaurabhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this verse has been spoken by Mandodari, the wife of Ravana. After Ravana has been killed by Lord Ramachandra, so he's lying there on the battlefield. His body is lying there. And his wives are crying and lamenting. And Mandodari, who is the chief wife of Ravana, is speaking these verses. And because she is a chaste wife, so therefore she can understand the influence of a chaste wife, the power of a chaste wife. And because Ravana, under the influence of lusty desire, he kidnapped Mother Sita Devi. He dared to kidnap the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, it's impossible to do that, and we can understand, it was explained, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, there was one devotee, one brahmana who was, who hosted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was very disturbed. This brahmana was very disturbed. He was fasting, and the Lord inquired from him that, What's wrong with you? Why are you fasting? And he revealed that he was very upset that Sita Devi had been kidnapped by Ravana. How could this be possible, that the wife of the Lord, the goddess of fortune, she could be touched by a lusty demon? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explained to this Brahmana that actually she was not kidnapped. It was another form, it was a Maya form of Sita Devi who was kidnapped by Ravana. And the real Sita Devi, she was protected by the fire god. Because it's not possible that a demon can touch the consort of the Lord. But it appeared to be that she was kidnapped. And therefore the power of her curse was spelt out doom for Ravana. And it's described here by Srila Prabhupada that Sita Devi is one of the most exalted chaste women in history. Lord Ramachandra and Sita Devi, they're actually expansions of Radha and Krishna. So the Lord, he came in this form of Lord Ramachandra to teach principles of Dharma. When he appeared as Krishna, then he performed all his intimate pastimes in Vrindavan with his loving devotees. And Radharani, she was the topmost loving devotee of the Lord. And when he appeared as Lord Ramachandra, he also exhibited many pastimes. But these were more in the mood of teaching Dharma. And similarly, Sita Devi, she is the topmost example of Dharma for women, of chastity. So these Dharmic principles are so important that they were taught by the Lord himself and his consort, that they came to earth to display all these beautiful pastimes and also to teach by example Dharma for, especially for grihasthas. So when Lord Ramachandra was banished to the forest to be exiled for 14 years, Sita Devi insisted on accompanying him, even though she was a princess who was brought up in a palace. But she couldn't bear to be separated from her husband, so she followed him to the forest and performed. It was a very austere living in the forest, because they didn't have proper clothes to wear or proper food to eat or beds to lie down on. It was very, very austere. They were walking barefoot in the forest and just eating berries and roots and leaves. And also it was very dangerous because there were many rakshasas who used to live in the forest, and sometimes they were attacked by different rakshasas. But Sita Devi, she was very happy because she was with her Lord, with Lord Ramachandra, her husband. And if she would have stayed back in the palace, and she would have had all the comforts and all the luxuries, but she would have been very unhappy. So she was teaching that this is the Dharma of a wife, is to always follow the husband and to always serve him in any situation, whether in happiness or distress, whether in wealth or in poverty, enjoyment or suffering. The duty of a chaste wife is to always is to always be faithful to the husband and always support him. So this was an amazing example of this. And it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teachings of Narada Muni in the seventh canto, the principles of chastity for women are described there. And the four principles to be followed by a chaste woman are that she should always serve the husband. She should always have a favorable mood towards the husband. And she should always be favorable to the husband's relatives and friends. And she should follow the vows of the husband. So these are the four principles to be followed by chaste women. And Mother Sita Devi, she was an example of all these principles, and especially of following the vows of the husband, that she accompanied him to the forest and underwent so much hardship. And Mandodari, she's also described as one of the five most exalted chaste women in history. Now, she was the wife of a demon. So it's very interesting that that the husband doesn't have to be the supreme lord or even a great mahatma or a liberated soul to in order for a chaste woman to serve him. Even the biggest demon, Ravana, his wife is one of the most exalted chaste women in history. And even though she was serving a demon, but she didn't become a demon herself, even though she was serving him, associating with him. But she always stuck to her principles of chastity, and she would be supporting him as a wife, and at the same time trying to help him to come back to the right path of Dharma. Because she could understand when he kidnapped Sita that this was a very wrong thing to do, and that it was going to spell disaster for him to be kidnapping the wife of the Lord. She knew that it was a very bad move. And she was always asking him to return her, please return her to the Lord, beg his forgiveness. But Ravana was very proud. He was so proud that he wouldn't bow down to anyone. He thought that he was the Lord of the universe. He didn't understand that there's someone much more powerful than him, and that's the Supreme Lord. And he wanted to be the enjoyer of all the best, all the greatest wealth, and all the most beautiful women. He felt that they should all be in his service. So he would never listen to Mandodari. And Sita Devi, she refused to live in the palace. He offered her a beautiful palace with he offered her to be the chief of all his queens. He said that all my other queens will serve you. You can have everything you want. Just become my wife. But she refused. She refused to enter the palace. And instead, she went to the Ashoka Grove. In the gardens of the palace, there was a grove there. And she lived there under a tree. And day and night she was just meditating on Lord Ramachandra. And this very pitiable condition, she was always harassed by demonesses who would come and taunt her and try to persuade her to surrender to Ravana. and she wouldn't eat any food from the palace. She was just existing on a very meagre diet. She was very weak and thin, and she was just always thinking of Lord Ramachandra. And Ravana, he couldn't force her to surrender to him because he was cursed. He'd been cursed that if he would, because he'd made that mistake once to try to force himself on a chaste woman, and he'd been cursed that if he ever did that, his heads would fall off. So in that way, she was able to resist his advances. And he was getting more and more angry, and she was getting more and more desperate, until eventually Hanuman came. He found her and he brought a message from her lord. And eventually the lord came with his army, and there was a big battle, as you all know the story, that the demons were defeated and Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra. And Sita Devi was restored back to the side of her lord. So they're very beautiful pastimes, and they also have a lot to teach us. So this principle of chastity is something that's not very well known. Unfortunately, these dharmic principles have been eroded in Kali Yuga. In fact, the word chastity it's not very well known. It's considered to be a kind of old-fashioned, antiquated word, which is very sad. Of course, words like loyalty and faithfulness are still known. But the word chastity has a kind of special meaning, because it means loyalty and faithfulness, but it also means purity. That a chaste wife carries this purity, she keeps her mind always focused on her husband, and she never becomes distracted towards other men. So this is the meaning of chastity. And it's a very important part of Varnashram Dharma, because according to the Vedic culture, all women are supposed to be protected. And this is something that's also sadly lacking in modern society. Because according to the Vedic culture, women are supposed to be protected from the cradle to the grave. That as a child, the girl is protected by the father. And then she gets married, and she's protected by the husband. And in old age, she's protected by grown-up sons. And these principles of protection for women and chastity for women are very important for society, because they protect the institution of the family. They keep... Srila Prabhupada says that this is how good quality progeny is created. When women are chaste and faithful, then there is good quality progeny, because children are produced from healthy relationships, from good, strong relationships of men and women who are loyal and faithful to each other, and who stay together. so they can create good quality progeny and healthy families. And this is one of the great problems for society today, that because women are not protected in this way, because they're not educated in this way, so there's so much divorce and adultery and illegitimate children, and children who are not so happy, not so stable. Because when children are brought up in a stable family, they become happy and stable themselves. But when they're brought up in dysfunctional family, then they also tend to... There's a risk for them. There's more risk for them to become... to have mental issues, psychological... more baggage. They carry more baggage, and there's more chance that they can also fall into the same pattern of having broken relationships, and that pattern goes on and on. So that's why this Vedic culture is very important for our society and for the general society as a whole, to learn these principles. Of course, things are very different, and it's not that the Varnashram system, it's not that it can be reintroduced in the same way as it was, because things are very different. But the main principles of Varnashram are very important to be taught, and when it comes to ashram, the Grihastha ashram is like the foundation for the society, because when there are good, healthy families, happy families, then the society becomes healthy. And when the family institution is weak, then society as a whole becomes weak. And we can see that today, that there's so many problems in society of antisocial behavior, of psychological disturbance. Things like drug abuse are increasing. And it's been proven by sociologists that, you know, drug abuse and criminal behavior are mainly coming from social backgrounds where there is family problems, where children have been brought up in a situation that is... that is not nurturing and caring for them, and also because of poverty, of course. And that's one interesting point that is also in the Srimad Bhagavatam is it's also originally from the Chanakya Shloka, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda. Jai Shri Shri Goni Tai, Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. There it's said by Chanakya Pandit, and this is also quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that wherever there is no quarrel between husband and wife, the goddess of fortune resides in that house, and opulence comes. There's definitely a connection between good, loving relationships between husband and wife and opulence and prosperity. And when these are in place, then children have everything they need, and they can grow up happily and become contributing members to society. So it's important in our ISKCON society also for these principles to be encouraged, for good families to be supported, for Grihastha Ashram to be supported, and for women and children to be protected. And even in our society, we still have a lot of work to do on this. And the whole Varnashram system is actually meant for spiritual advancement. It's not just... we shouldn't think that as devotees, we are transcendental, and that Varnashram teachings, they're mundane, they're just for mundane people. Because actually all the principles of Varnashram are meant to help us to advance spiritually. That is the purpose of them. And according to our position, the beauty of Varnashram is that everyone can be engaged according to their position. So Varna Dharma means that people are engaged according to their skills and propensities as in a career. And Ashram Dharma means that everyone has a position according to their according to the modes of nature. I mean, both Varna Ashram is according to modes of nature. And the Ashram system is for everyone to be situated according to their own position, to be honest about their position, find the most suitable Ashram from which they can advance spiritually. And that's why the Grihastha Ashram is needed, so that everyone, and whatever level we're on, we can all find a place to serve Krishna and to advance in Krishna consciousness. So, although devotional service is transcendental to Varnashram, we should not think that we are transcendental to Varnashram. Srila Prabhupada, he said this, that although a Vaishnava is transcendental to Varnashram, we do not call ourselves Vaishnavas because we are not so impudent. And we shouldn't be thinking that we are on the highest platform, because that's not the attitude of a Vaishnava. And even if someone is a liberated soul, they still follow the principles of Varnashram to teach an example. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he, even though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, he very strictly followed the principles of sannyas to teach by example. Now that was in India, and these Varnashram system was well known. Today we're living in the West, the Varnashram system is not so well known. So it can't be transplanted within all full details. But the main principles are very important to understand and introduce for ISKCON and for society in general. And at the same time, adjustments have to be made Because it's an emergency situation, Srila Prabhupada also points this out. That because there is an emergency situation, therefore, in fact, it's a principle that when there's an emergency situation, anyone can perform someone else's duty. That even though there's occupational duties chalked out for each one of the varnas, but in emergency situation, anyone except the kshatriya can accept the occupational duty of another. And that's why, because Srila Prabhupada says that, because today is an emergency situation, because the society has no head. The brahmanas are the head of society, the leaders of the society. But because there's a great lack of qualified brahmanas today to lead the society, that's why people who are low-born, people who have not been purified with all the samskaras, and who have been born in lower families, like meat-eating families, are taking up the position of brahmana. That was Srila Prabhupada's great contribution to the society, that he pulled people out like us from low-born families, and he created brahmanas to teach and lead the society. So this can be done because it's an emergency situation. And similarly, for women, because women are also considered to be low-born. Striyo Vaishyas Tata Sudras. Women, Vaishyas and Sudras, they're considered to be part of the lower-born. But Srila Prabhupada engaged even women to preach and teach because it's an emergency situation. Because otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here. I would be at home doing my household duties. But because it's an emergency situation, then all of us have to preach and teach Krishna consciousness. And so we need to try to understand the principles of Varnashram as taught by Ramachandra and Sita Devi. And at the same time, we have to learn how to adjust them for the higher principle of spreading Krishna consciousness. So whatever shortcomings that we have can be compensated for by the Yuga Dharma, by following the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll stop there and ask if there's any questions or comments.